I'm going to give my say. Torah tells us about the men beis masonis that Klai Yisrael traveled in the Midbar. And Chazal say that these men beis masonis correspond to the men beis Ari Levium, the 42 settlement cities of the Levium. We try to understand in Mitzvah Shem the connection between them. The Kesher is somewhat obvious. The fact that the parashas deal with the Inyan of Yer Miklat, and together it enumerates the 42 Masos, so that would suggest that there is a Kesher. And the numbers add up, and whenever that is, there's always a Kesher. So that's Aleph. Beis is, as the Torah is telling us about these Mem Beis Masos, so the Psukim make a detour. And the Torah tells us in three or four what seems to be extra Psukim about what took place at Hor HaHar. The Torah says that they Vayusu Vayachanu, they came to Hor HaHar, and something very important happens at Hor HaHar. Vayal Aaron HaKohen al Hor HaHar al Pi Hashem Vayamas Sham, the death of Aaron HaKohen in the 40th year of Bnei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim, in the 5th month, in the 1st day of the month, Aaron was 33 years old. And then, not only does the Torah tell us about the death of Aaron, but it tells us what happens following that. Vayishma HaKnani Melech Arad, that the king Arad of the Canaanim attacks Bnei Israel. So what does this have to do with Mem Beis Masos? So many things happen in the Midbar. Yet the Torah here deviates and tells us the death of Aaron HaKohen in the 40th year, in the 5th month, first day, and what happens with Canaanim Melech Arad seems to be out of place. Furthermore, in dealing with the Inyan Sugi of Yer Miklat, so the Gemara tells us in Makos that eventually the fate of the Malach HaMaves will be due to a Taos, a mistake, more specifically three mistakes that the Malach HaMaves will make in the Parsha, in the Sugi of Yer Miklat. Gemara tells us one of the cities of Yer Miklat is Batsar, and he will flee to Basra thinking that it's the same, but it's not. Another mistake the Malach HaMaves will make is that he will think that the Yer Miklat affords protection even for a Rotzeach B'mezid, but that's not true. It's only for a Rotzeach B'shagig. And also, thirdly, the Malach HaMaves will think that it's even for a Malach, and he's a Malach, but it's only for another. But what's interesting is that the Shechita, the Asa Kadosh Baruch Hu v'Shachar LaMalach HaMaves, will take place within the Sugya of Yer Miklat. And lastly for now, that coming up is Parshas V'Eschanan, and Moshe Rabbeinu is begging, pleading from Kadosh Baruch Hu to come into Eretz Yisrael, and Hashem says his famous few words, Rav Lach, Al Taisef Daber Lai, Oy B'Dav Razeh. Moshe Rav Lach. Don't say another word about this. And so much Torah in Chazal and in the Sfarim has been written on these words, Rav Lach. In fact, the Megala Mukos has a sefer where he has 252 explanations of Rav Lach. So there's always room, Mirtz Hashem, to explain and to try to understand these words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Lach, powerful words which sealed the deal for Moshe Rabbeinu from coming into Eretz Yisrael. So there's a medrash regarding Moshe and his connection to Yer Miklat. Kevim shama kadosh baruch hu l'Moshe l'hav d'Ari Miklat. When Hashem told Moshe to set aside Ari Miklat, Amar Lai. So Moshe said to kadosh baruch hu, lama? Why? Amar Lai, l'mishaharik nefesh b'shagig yosin shama. So Hashem says in Yer Miklat is a place that a murderer b'shagig has to run to. So Amar Moshe, tzarech ani l'mashir. If that's the case, I have a shir I need to sing to you. Sha'af bi ira davar zeh. Because this happened to me. Shaharak the Yisha Mitzri. Going back to Parsha Shemais. Moshe killed the Ish Mitzri. And Moshe says, I have to sing Shira on that. Uminayin Shema Shira. Where do we see that Moshe actually sang Shira for that now? Shenemar Oz Yavdil Moshe. Ve'ein Oz Ela Shira. And Oz is Ela Shem Shira. Like we find Oz Yashir Moshe. So Moshe Benu here finds himself accountable. And he picks up on Hashem's hint for the killing of the Mitzri. And this is alluded to from the words of the Ari in the parish of Yer Miklat, that the Lashon HaPasuk is Lanos Shama Kol Retzayach. Shama is the Osios Moshe. The Moshe, after killing the Mitzri, he fled to Midian. And that was Betayres Yer Miklat because he killed the Mitzri B'Shagi. And that's, in fact, going back to the Medrash, alluded to, Moshe, again, picks up on the remez that Hashem gives him. Moshe asks, what is this for? Hashem responded, L'misha harig nefesh b'shkaga, he who kills b'shkaga, yonas shama. So, Amar Moshe, so Moshe picks up, he says, I understand from your shama, the remez of the Arizal, that I have to go to Yer Miklat. So Moshe goes to Yer Miklat. What's interesting to note is that the Magen Mishar, the Sefer of the Beis Yosef, collection of the teachings which he was mekabel from the Malach, he writes that Korach was the neshama of this Mitzri. And Ari works with this as well. Shivasayim yukam Kayin. The Kayin has three primary gilgulim into this world: Yisro, Korach, and the Mitzri. And says the Ari, that's Rashi Tevas, yukam Kayin. Yukam is Rashi Tevas, Yisro, Kayin, Mitzri. And there's a lot of Torah which is said about this battle, confrontation between Moshe and Korach, Moshe being Hevel, and Kayin, Korach being Kayin, and the fact that the blood of Moshe was swallowed up, and now Korach is swallowed up by the ground. But that's not our sugya today. Moshe kills the Mitzri, and that has a din, Retzeach B'Shoigig. And then he goes ahead, and he kills Korach as well. And the reason why Moshe is considered to be a Retzeach B'Shoigig in killing the Mitzri, two explanations are said in the Mefarshim. Either because he killed the Mitzri not in the right time, it was too early, or because he killed him with the wrong Shem HaMefarsh. Debbie explains that Moshe used the Shem Yud Chaf Shin, which is one of the names of the 42 name of Hashem, where he really should have used the name Nun Gimel Dalet. Of course, whatever that means is beyond my understanding. But these two reasons are perhaps alluded to in that which the Torah says in the rebellion Korach makes against Moshe, Kriye Moed Anshei Shem. Kriye Moed means those who know the times. And that was a hint that Moshe did not know the time in killing the Mitzri. And Anshei Shem, the Medrash says that he took those who knew the Shem HaMefarash. I mean, Shem HaSakdosh. So we see Korach brought to the battlefront Kriye Moed Anshei Shem to allude to the Kitrug against Moshe and the Sinyan. Al Koponim, the Medrash enumerates six Chataim of Moshe. And one of them is Imbriya Yivre Hashem. The way that he killed Korach was considered to be a chet. So even in the killing of Korach, not just in the killing of Mitzri, do Chazal find fault in Moshe Rabbeinu in this hariga which he does on Korach. Now, this idea that Moshe has a din, Retzeach B'Shoigig, and he goes to Yer Miklat, like we find in Chazal Bata Mitzri, and perhaps even by Korach as well, a certain accountability in the death of Korach. We can broaden the sugya somewhat. Try to explain Klai Yisrael's traveling in the Midbar. Arboim Shana Akot Bedor. 40 years ago, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had contempt against Klai Yisrael in the Midbar. They were supposed to go into Eretz Yisrael immediately after receiving the Torah, but because of the many chataim, they were bound to the Midbar for 40 years, traveling in Anani HaKavod. Now, the simple pshat in Anani HaKavod is that it was Lakavod B'nei Yisrael. They had the Man, they had the Be'er, they had Anani HaKavod. Fine. But perhaps there's another indication, implication when it comes to the Anani HaKavod. Anani HaKavod was not just traveling in style. It was also meant to serve as protection against the enemies of Bnei Yisrael. Now why would Bnei Yisrael need protection through the Anani HaKavod? So perhaps the pshat is because one of the very grave chataim that Klai Yisrael did in the Midbar was the killing of Chur. Vayiven mizvayach lefanav chazal darshan, that Aaron built a mizbeach, Chazal Dashen, Vayiven, he understood, mizevoyach lefanav, he understood the grave chet, which it was in the killing of Hur, to which Moshe comes down and says, what's going on with him? What's going on with Hur? It was a tremendous loss for Klai Yisrael, and a very devastating chet. And perhaps we can say that although, yes, it was the Erevav who killed Hur, and they were held responsible primarily, but nobody in Bnei Yisrael was Moshe. Nobody in Bnei Yisrael protested. Aaron did not, and neither did Klai Yisrael. And for that, they're held accountable. Like we find in the sugya of Kamsa bar Kamsa, which is in Yonah the Yoma, that yes, the owner, the one who threw the party, that he threw out one, and everybody in Klai Yisrael is held responsible for that, because he said, that nobody said anything, so everybody was held accountable for that. So there's a certain responsibility, accountability, achrayas that Klai Yisrael has in the death of Chur, that perhaps you could say that although it's not Ritzicha B'meizid, because it wasn't blood on their hands, but it had the din of like a Ritzicha B'shegeg, and so therefore, traveling in the Midbar with Anani HaKavod was not just, again, traveling in style. It had to do with the fact that there was a taina and a kitchuk against B'nai Yisrael for the Ritzicha of Chur, that Goyel Hadam can come into kill B'nai Yisrael. And that's our enemies. Our enemies, the Svarim explain, are where our Aveiras go. Like we find when it comes to Klai Yisrael going to Melchama. Rabbi Yosef Lili says, if a person is afraid, he's allowed to go home. He doesn't have to be in war. So what is he afraid of? It says, basically, the mean haveris should be other. He's afraid of his haveris. And the Mefarshim explain, the Panim Yafos and others, that a person's haveris are by the enemy. Our enemies are attacking us because the nitzaitzin, which we destroyed, which we killed, those nitzaitzin, they fall and they become our enemies and they attack us to revenge the misa which we've done for the averus which we've committed, or the nitzaitin which we aren't mala. We have a chance to be machaya the nitzaitin, or to be mamus the nitzaitin, and we're held accountable for that. So the Anani HaKavod, they serve as a way of protecting us, protecting B'nai Yisrael from the goyal hadam, for the mistakes which we made, but particularly when we're speaking of Ritzicha B'shoigeg, it's apropos to say that it refers to Chur. So with this, if we can come back for a moment to address our questions. Perhaps the most important question in the sugya is that there are membeis masaos, which are keneged the membeis Ari Alevi. And the membeis masaos is really the sugya of Eila Masa Bnei Yisrael. Yet we pointed out that there are 3-4 psukim which are dedicated toward the death of Aaron and Cohen, and the Vayish Maknani Melech Arad in the middle of the membeis masaos. Why should that be? But the terrace is that there is a correlation between the Membeis Masos and the Membeis Ari Levim. Because Ari Levim were not just Ari Levim, they were also 42 of the 48 Ari Miklat that Bnei Yisrael had. So therefore, by listing 42 Masos, it's delving into the Sugya as well of the Ari Miklat, which is at the heels of Parashas Matos. It's really, hence Matos Masay is one, because it's really one Sugya. So why does it mention the death of Aaron HaKohen amongst the Membeis Masos? Because it may not be a Masa Sugya, but it's an Ir Miklat Sugya, because the din of Ir Miklat is that the Ratzeach has to flee to an Ir Miklat, and when is he free to leave the Ir Miklat? With the death of the Kohen Gadol. So this will explain to us why Aaron HaKohen is mentioned here, and Har HaHar, amongst the Membeis Masos, the death of Aaron HaKohen. And the Torah says, in the 40th year, on the first day of the 5th month. So why Dafka in the 40th year? To tell us that at the end of 40 years, there was a kapara, and Bnei Yisrael will be able to enter into Eretz Yisrael. Why is there a kapara? Because it's the death of the Kohen Gadol. And the death of the Kohen Gadol will free Bnei Yisrael from this Ir Miklat status which they had for these 40 years in the Midbar. And the Torah also points out, although Beremes, but Chazal bring it out, that with the death of Aaron HaKohen, the Anani HaKavod went away. So of course, Anani HaKavod were in the schus of Aaron HaKohen. But more than that, the reason why the Anani HaKavod went away was because the Anani HaKavod served as your miklat. But with the death of the Kohen Gadol, Klai was allowed to leave the miklat. There's no need anymore for Anani HaKavod. Our enemies are not allowed to attack us. So there's no need for Anani HaKavod anymore. But yet the Torah says, Vayishma Kanani Melech Arad, and Chazal say that Kanani Melech Arad came to attack us. Well, how can they attack us? There's no reshut for them to attack. They can't be the Goyal Hadam to come to revenge the blood of even of the Averis, which we did, even of Chur. There's no reshut for that. The death of the Kohen Gadol means that Misa Tzadikim Mechaperes, Chazal say, the Sfarim say, to explain why is it that the Misa of Aaron HaKohen allows the Ritzeach to leave? Because the Misa of the Tzadik affords Kapara for Klai Yisrael. So how could Kanani Melech Arad come and attack Bnei Yisrael? So perhaps this is why Chazal say, this was not Kanani Melech Arad. It was Amalekim who dressed up as Kanani, but it was really Amalekim. And why is that so apparent? because every other nation in the world at least has respect. Like we find by Kriyas Yam Suf, Shamu Amim Regozan, everybody trembled. I mean, there's Derech Eretz for Kodesh Baruch Hu and for the Dini Atayra. But the one nation which has no respect, which could care less, that's Amalek. So even though there was the death of the Kohen Gadol, and there was Kapar for the mistakes of the Midbar, nevertheless, Amalek came because they have no regard whatsoever for the Halachas. And Mamela, the Anani HaKavod came back, Chazal saying the Tzchus of Moshe, but also because it was necessary to come back. Because yes, although the other nations were going to show the proper Derech Eretz, Amalek was not going to. And Mela, the Anani HaKavod were still necessary until they finally made it into Eretz Yisrael. Perhaps this is why the Torah mentions, in the beginning of Parshas Matos, the death of the five kings of Midian. And one of the five kings of Midian was Hur. So why is Hur what, the name? So perhaps the remez is that for these 40 years in the Midbar, there was a kitrig against the Hariga of Hur, the death of Hur. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a siman to Bnei Yisrael that there was a kapara for the death of Hur, for the fact that one of the kings of Midian which they killed was Hur. The killing of this Chur was a remez, that it was a kapar for the killing of Chur, and maybe they'd be able to come into Eretz Yisrael. So we address the Membeis Masos and the Membeis Ari Miklat, and the Mis of Aaron HaKohen, and why it's pointed out here, in Vayishma Knani. Rav Lach, Hashem Yisbarach says to Moshe, Rav Lach, Al Taisiv Da'abir Lai Oibud Arezeh, Moshe also wants to come into Eretz Yisrael. Misas Kohen Gadol. Why can't Moshe come into Eretz Yisrael? Yes, he may have his own accountability for the fact that he killed the Mitzri. And he also killed Korach. And the fact that Korach came to avenge the blood of this Mitzri, that's Ein Goyal Hadam Gedol Mizeh. He is a Goyal Hadam. That's him. But Moshe says, I should have Kapara because Misas Aaron HaKohen. Why can't Moshe come into Eretz Yisrael? Aaron died first. So the Teretz is that we have a halacha when it comes to your Miklat. The Pasuk says, Asher Yomos Shama V'chai. That if a person kills B'shogeg and he goes to an Miklat, the Rebbe has to go too. Because Talmud Shigala, Megalin Rabba Imai. It says V'chai. You can't live without Torah, says the Rambam. So the Rebbe has to go into the Miklat as well to be Machaya the Talmud. So Moshe wants to come into Eretz Yisrael. And Hashem says to Moshe, yes, this people is going to come into Eretz Yisrael. But what about your Talmudim who perished in the Midbar? Who is going to bring in them into Eretz Yisrael eventually? The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, that they don't have a chelik le'olam haba. They don't have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe has to be buried with them, because Moshe, of course, is the source for Tchias HaMeisim. And by Moshe being coming into Eretz Yisrael, lesser level, he'll bring in even those who are left behind. But they're still in the Ir Miklat. So Moshe Rabbeinu has to go there. Why? Because Talmud Shigala, Megal and Rabbi Yimai. That's what Hashem says to Moshe. Moshe, yes, you can come into Eretz Yisrael. And I'll be then, I have to listen to you. But there's another halacha you have to make. Talmud Shigala, Megal and Rabbi. And you are their Rabbi. Hence, Rav Lach. You are the Rav. And as a Rebbe, you have to be buried along with your Talmidim in Chutz La'aretz. With this, we can explain as well what we had pointed out. Why is it that the Malach HaMaves, La'asalava, that he'll be tripped up on the Inyan of Yer Miklat? That's the final destiny of the Malach HaMaves in the Sugya of Yer Miklat. But the Teretz is because the MS, it's not just a Din Kohen Gadol. Like the Mefarshim explained, Misas Tzadikim Mechaperes. In every generation, there are quote-unquote Kohanim Gedoylem, Tzadikim, who are passing away. And that is always providing Kapara for Klai Yisrael in each and every generation. If that's the case, how does the Malach HaMavis have any rishos to attack us? If there's constantly Kapara which is taking place with Misas Tzadikim, many, many times, over every year. So, it's for that the Malach HaMavis is held accountable for. Because he violates the Inyan of Misas Aaron HaKohen. Vayishbe Knani Melech Arad is a precedent which the Torah is telling us in future generations that the Malach HaMavis has no rishus, but he ignores the mitzvah, and despite the fact that he has no rishus, he attacks Bnei Yisrael anyways. So with that, we can explain why Davka, the Malach HaMavis, his soif will be through the mitzvah of your miklat, because he's held accountable for all the violations of your miklat throughout the Doiris with Misas Tzadikim, which takes place throughout the generations. We see this every single Shabbos, because during the week, we're on the run for the Averis which we do. But Shabbos is like an Ir Miklat. And on Shabbos, we can't be harmed. It's like an Ani HaKavod. We're in that world which are called Shmir Shabbos, and the Shabbos protects us. And this is alluded to in the Medrash which we had said before. The Moshe Rabbeinu says, I also have to sing Shira for killing the Mitzri. Az Yasher. And that's an allusion to Friday night davening. Friday night, Kabbalah Shabbos. We bring Shabbos in with Shira. That's called Az Yasher Moshe. That's where we're Mekabel Shabbos with Mizmor Shir LeMoshe Shabbos. And we've said many times that the Ari says, Mizmor Shir LeMoshe Shabbos Shetavis LeMoshe. This is the Shira of Moshe. That's called Az Yasher Moshe B'Knisas HaShabbos. But Zachas HaMashabbos, the Pacha Rambam says, even, the Gemara says, even B'Seif HaShabbos, you have a mitzvah to be Mekadosh as HaShabbos. And that's called Havdalah. Havdalah is at the end of Shabbos. And that's what the Medrash here says. Az Yavdil Moshe. There's the Az Yasher Moshe in the beginning of Shabbos. And then there's the Havdalah, the Shira of Havdalah, at the end of Shabbos. So we see that Shabbos is a near Miklat. And therefore, by Moitzi Shabbos, we're able to leave their Miklat. How could we leave their Miklat on Moitzi Shabbos? And we're okay to go back into the week, or we're not afraid? Because the answer is because there's Misa Tzadikim Mechaperos on Shabbos Kodesh. How so? Because as we have pointed out many times, that the Torah says, and the Ari has Kavanas on this, that we say Tzikasa three times Minchan Shabbos, which corresponds to the Misa of three special Tzadikim, Moshe, Yosef, and David. So we see that Minchat Shabbos is his man, Misa Tzadikim, even Moshe himself. If there's Misa Tzadikim, which we take into account by Minchat Shabbos, that means that's called Misa Demechaper, and we're able to leave Shabbos and to go into the Vach and not have any worries. And this will help us explain, in one of the Zmiras which we sing by Shalashuddis, we say, We talk about the entire parsha of the Malach HaMavis, his Shechita L'Salava, because of the mistakes he's going to make in a Mikla. What does it have to do with Shal Shittis time? But since Shal Shittis is the time of the Misa, these three tzaddikim, and it's talking about how Ir Mikla protects Ben Yisrael and how the Malach HaMavis will make the mistake there. So Mamela, it's really the Inyan which we're discussing, is that B'tzeis HaShabbos, Az Yavdol Maisha, are able to go into the Vach without any worries. So a little remiss to this is what we had said before, that the rate that this parasha begins with the Masos and the Ir Miklat really goes, is a story about Moshe's accountability regarding the Mitzrayim, regarding Korach perhaps as well, but Klai Yisrael's responsibility in the Hariga of Hur, which is really a very, very difficult, terrible mistake that Klai Yisrael made, and how the Mises Aharon HaKohen allows them to finally leave the Ir Miklat. But the fact that Moshe has to say Me'iver LeYarden, that's called Rav Lach Tamun Shigala Megala Rav. And that's from Rumi, if you take the word Chur and you make it B'Milui, it's a Gematria V'Nas El Achaz Ha'arim Ho'el V'Chai. Shkaya.